As most of you know, I've been out in Indonesia last week with the brethren there, and I wanted to do a trip report. But I do want to start with Isaiah chapter 35. So Isaiah 35. And starting with verse 1, it says, "The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the arbutus and will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will bloom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and the shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. Say to the anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness, then streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there." It's an interesting prophecy, and it describes the glory and the joy that God brings to his people and his care for them. But I want you to notice that in that statement there, God tells the Israelites in verse 3 to encourage the exhausted, to strengthen the feeble. And he talks about the fact that when we do that and God blesses the Israelites, that it will become a highway, an easier way to travel through life, a smooth way. Now, my trips to the South Asian islands really started all the way back in 2013. Never expected to start getting connections over there. But I had been studying with a young man. His name was Ming Wei. Many of you have met him because he now teaches at Florida College. But he's a math student at the National University of Singapore. And we had been studying for several years via Skype. And he had asked me repeatedly to come hold meetings in Singapore. And it never worked out until 2013. And that's when I first went over there. But that same year, I had started studying with a young man on the island of Bali in Indonesia by email. And Peter had decided to become a New Testament Christian. But he ran into a problem. There were no churches on that island. The nearest church to him that I could find at that time was about an hour and a half plane ride to get to the nearest church. And I found out since then that that church had folded. So actually the nearest church to him was about 2 hours plane ride away. And so Peter, in desperation, basically got baptized by a denominational preacher who agreed to do it the way the Bible taught. Because that's basically the only, there was nobody else. So, after my meeting in Singapore, I talked Ming Wei into going with me because I had never been to Indonesia. I had never been to Singapore. Never been to Indonesia. I had no idea what I was getting into. Other than email exchanges, I had never talked with Peter. So, Ming Wei went down with me to Bali so that we could talk, and we spent a weekend there. And it turned out to be a very, very good study time with him. We spent literally, we would get up early in the morning, study until late at night. And we did that for 3 days in a row, studying with Peter. I then got in hold of some friends who were also, I knew, traveling through that area. Ed Brand, who's down from Russellville, Alabama, was scheduled to go in that region shortly thereafter, and he was going to be in Singapore. So Ming Wei invited Peter to go up to Singapore to meet Ed Brand. And Peter's sister joined him. After talking with Ed, Peter's sister, Mia, decided she was going to be baptized. And Peter decided to be baptized again to make sure his baptism was correct. Not that I think it was anything wrong with it, but he wanted to make sure. And I then got a hold of other friends, and Bobby Cannon and Ed Brand both have been stopping by Bali when they are out in that region. And also Ed or Bob Buchanan has had Peter and Marlon, which we'll talk about in a moment, he's invited them to go traveling with him. And so they have actually gone to work in other countries. They've been in the Philippines and then been in Malaysia and other places teaching the gospel as well as in their locality. So since that time, the group has grown from just Peter to include also Peter's brother, Marco. His father was baptized. His business partner, which is Marlon, she was also baptized. Her sister, Rhea, was also baptized. Unfortunately, Mia and Rhea, of course their names would rhyme, right? They are on a different island. They're on West Java. So they don't attend with Peter, Marlon, and Marco. Last time I was there, which was 2016, I baptized a woman named Martina. And unfortunately, she's fallen back into drugs. She was had trouble with that, and she's gone back into that. And so she no longer attends. So, and Peter Marco's father also doesn't attend. So it's down to basically three of them again down in Bali. This last year, just so that you know where it's at, we're talking about, this is Indonesia. Bali is this little island right down here. And Rhea and Mia are on this island here. And so it's a drive. It's like a three-hour drive. Not that it's all that much difference, but they don't drive fast because they drive crazy there. So it takes a long while to get what we would consider a short distance. So anyway, that's where it's at. The other problem, here's a more close-up of Bali. The Pensar is the basically the main town. It's like Omaha. Oh, it doesn't look like Omaha. But it's the main town, and then there's a bunch of suburbs. Kuta is the suburb I was in, which is where Peter and Marlon live, is in Kuta, which is a suburb of Denpasar. So there are probably about 2 million people in the Denpasar area. So that you get a rough idea. While Indonesia itself is a Muslim country, Bali itself is primarily Hindu. And so the island has a population that's 85% Hindu. And you can tell it. They're about 13% Muslim. And so that leaves only about 1.5% of people who actually claim to be Christians in that entire island, out of the 2 million people, just in that region. You will find Hindu temples and Hindu idols everywhere. You can't look anywhere without seeing something. But it's also a tourist town. The reason for it is this whole region, all the way along that, is one gigantic beach. And so they get people from all over the world, literally, visiting there. And so most of the businesses are focused around tourism. And so because it's a tourist town, though, the advantage for me is that most people can speak English. Some kind of poorly, but most people can somewhat speak English in that area. So the other problem, though, that they ran into is, I should go back there. Way up here, that's a volcano. And last fall, it erupted. And it stopped all the air traffic for about 2 months down to there. Since Peter and Marlin's business is a tourist-type business, the whole economy went sour for several months. They've managed to survive, but they're still struggling, trying to recover from the fact that they lost about 2 months, 3 months worth of wages. You can imagine going suddenly saying, "Okay, you don't have work for 3 months." That's basically the impact they had on theirs. This is what, when I talk about traffic, this is what. The only thing I can't capture on a still film is it keeps moving. And it's just constant. I don't know if you noticed, this road is probably, this is, by the way, the road that their shop is on. And it's one of the main roads. It's probably what we would consider maybe just a hair bigger than the street out here. Okay, and if you count the cars, there's three lanes of traffic going on that. Of cars, plus there are motorcycles going in between, because the motorcycles don't wait. So if everybody else stops, the motorcycles keep going, and they just go between all the vehicles. And if everything else stops, they run right up the sidewalk. And oh, by the way, pedestrians do not have the right of way in Indonesia, so you have to be on your guard all the time, because you never know when somebody decides to go down the sidewalk. So that's what it looks like over there. The 5 days that I was there, the typical schedule that we were having, I would get up at 6:30 in the morning to get breakfast. Actually, I'd get up earlier than 6 to get have breakfast at 6:30. By 7, we would meet in the hotel restaurant, which was not all that busy at that time, and study from 7 to 9. Then Peter and Marlon would have to go to their shop to run the shop. I would go walking and explore and find something to do. And then by 1 o'clock, I would go down to their shop, which is a mile and a half away. And then we would study at their shop for 2 hours, barring any customers interrupting things. And then I would leave. They would finish things off. They would come back to the hotel at 6, and we'd study again from 6 to 8. And then we'd go out for dinner. And then we'd get back for usually about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then start the day all over again. So that's what I was doing for 5 days, just nonstop. Either Bible studies or walking between things or doing that way. Also give you some idea. You know, the traffic's real heavy. You see the town, and then all of a sudden you turn a corner, and you find that there's a farm. It's just right in the middle of the city, farmland. And oops, my thing's getting ahead of me. See if we can get it. We go back. Somebody decided this is not going to do it. Okay, so yeah, there you go. So you end up with farmland right in the middle of the things. This is like 2 blocks from my hotel. It's got a crowded city, and then all of a sudden you find cows, chickens, ducks. And that's just the way that things are over there. Like I said, you can see almost every other block has Hindu temples, idols on it. You have to watch where you're walking because they have the Hindus put out prayer boxes. They put them out almost every morning. And these are what the prayer boxes kind of look like. And they put them right where everybody walks. So when you go out the door, there's prayer boxes. And they got honey and other sticky stuff in it. So you got to watch where you step because otherwise you'll be trailing prayer boxes down the street. But that's, you know, you find this all over the place. I also, I didn't get a picture of it, but I did saw one lady who was leaving an idol. She had left a bunch of stuff for the idol, and I saw a rat going up. So I know that they're, it was actually living in the idol. So they're really feeding all the rats around there. So, you know, like this is the back side of a shopping mall. Pretty, but if you notice, there's idols sitting there. That's just, well, like I said, what you see. This is Peter and Marlon at one of our studies. I think it was one evening. Marlon decided there was a discount on coffee and a piece of cake. So it's just a little piece of cake. Don't worry, I didn't blow my diet at least that time because she split it three ways. But that was our thing. Everything is open air. It's hot. It's humid. The restaurants, there is no screens on anything. It's open air. You see a lot of the vines trailing down. They become living sunscreens. I don't know if you can see this wall. If you ever have pathos plants, it's all pathos on that wall. Mine doesn't look that way. But that's what the restaurant's like. It's just a breezeway, basically. Most of the restaurants are that way. Most of them are open air. So, yes, I spent most of the time sweating because I'm not used to that hot and humid all the time. And that's what the beach looks like. Like I said, it's big, long beach. It's low tide right now. But it attracts a lot of tourists. That's Peter and Marlon's shop. That's where they also meet for church services on the street. He sells radio-controlled cars. So you can get a look at that. This one, ladies, was interesting. It's next door to the cow farm. But she raises plants. And actually, Wednesday, she actually flagged me down. I was walking back to the hotel, and she saw me walking, and she signaled that, "Oh, you're walking. Good," you know, like thing. And so I stopped to talk to her and decided we were going to get very far because she asked me where I was from and what my name was. And before we got done, and then she invited me to stop sometime for coffee. And the next thing I know, she's asked me where I was from and what my name was. I went, okay, obviously communication is not working very well here. I thought I was getting somewhere, but it didn't work out very well. But anyway. On Wednesday, I arrived about 1 a.m. We didn't meet that next morning because I had to recover from it. So we didn't meet until that afternoon. It's a 23-hour, by the way, plane flight. You're in the plane for 23 hours, and not counting layovers. I met in the afternoon with Peter and Marlon. Marlon couldn't stay because someone needed to watch the shop. So I covered a few questions Peter had from the end of 1 Samuel that he was studying at that time. And Peter also wanted to discuss the scriptures, what the scripture had to say about finances, because they were struggling with finances. Now, the Kuta area attracts the Australian crowd. I found out each of the suburbs, each of them target a different area. and Kuta attracts the Australian. And that means there's lots of bars. I went exploring the late afternoon. I thought I remembered the way to the beach. I got lost. I knew where the beach was at. I just couldn't find the street to go over that direction. And so I decided, well, I'll just go down this one street. I decided I went down the wrong street because I don't know. I lost count of how many people asked me if I wanted a massage. It was not a nice part of town. So that afternoon, though, I did get up with Marco and Peter and Marlon, and we talked about worth ethics that evening. And then Peter and Marlon took me out to a food court for dinner. I had something that just was over spicy, but survived. Then Thursday, I met with Peter and Marlon again in the morning. We talked about the roles that women have in the church. There was some discussion. Marlon wanted to know about modest dress. That is an obvious problem over in that region. I did some exploring in the late morning, did find the beach finally. Explored another street that was a little bit better than the one I had explored the day before. Got to Peter Marlin's shop in the afternoon, and all the electricity was out for an hour. So there's no air conditioning. There was nothing there. So we sat in the dark in a unair-conditioned building, and we studied for about an hour into it. That power finally came back on. But we talked about personal money matters. We talked about planning for uncertainties. We talked about avoiding debt. Things like that, mostly from Proverbs. In the evening, then we talked about things that we can control and things we can't control. Peter had a dental appointment, so we didn't go out to eat then. I took notes in my notes that the hotel places, to Americans, they sound very exotic tune. But I found out by the second day, it's the same tune over and over, and it goes from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. And by the second day, I was very annoyed with it. But Friday, then I met with Peter and Marlon again in the morning. We finished off the lessons on money and business practices. We also talked about proper business practices. I wanted to get Peter and Marlon more deeper into the scriptures. Just people basically, it's just Ed, Bob, and I who just, drop in once in a while. What they do between is what they can gather from their, on their own. So I wanted to get them a little bit deeper. So we actually started out lessons on Hebrew poetry, so that we can eventually get into Proverbs, a bit. That afternoon, I tried yet a third street, and I basically found out that on that third street that I realized that, people will worship just about anything. I don't know if you noticed that on the pavement there in mosaics. I had to go back to take pictures of this because when I first went there, I realized what it was. I started to take a picture of it. There was a lady actually out there with incense and all that other stuff. And some lady came pulling up on her motorcycle and parked right on top of that. I assume she was there to get a blessing for her motorcycle. So I couldn't get a picture of it. So I went back Sunday to make sure I got a picture of that. But I thought Ray would get a kick out of that. But you'll find just about anything down there. So going back to our lessons, we continued our lessons on Hebrew poetry in the afternoon. After class, I walked south. There was a boardwalk along the beach. And I also got notes down here. It suddenly dawned on me that, none of the hotels have fourth floors. Yeah, they go from 3 to 5. And it turns out that it's 4s in Chinese is considered an unlucky number. Because four in a lot of this Asian languages sound very similar to death. And some of the other numbers, when you combine them, also sound like, you know, I want to die, or, you know, other things like that. They sound similar. So people just avoid fours on most of the hotels, so not to offend the Asian market. In the evening, we discussed how to evangelize the area, because for the last year or so, they've had a few converts at the beginning, but it kind of stalled. And so we were talking about the fact there's just no one right way to teach. Every area is different. That you got to try different things, because you just don't know what's going to work well. And that there is no one right way, because that was what Peter was saying. Well, if I can just learn this magical technique, then I'll start converting a lot of people. And the answer is no, it doesn't work that way. Different people respond to different things. So we talked about that. Saturday, Marlon wasn't feeling so well, so I only met with Peter in the morning. So we talked about economic systems, because that was Peter's interest. We also talked about Peter's future plans. And then I started exploring, again, southeast of the hotel. And I just wanted you to see, I don't know how well this shows up, what the sidewalks look like. This is right by my hotel, by the way, going away from it. I don't know if you can see that tree roots have just pushed up the sidewalk. I decided it was kind of like a Mario Nintendo game. You know, you walk down and everything's on different levels, and you step on something and it suddenly shifts underneath you because it's not set properly. I had one that almost flipped over on me while I was walking across it. That's when I started thinking it was like a Nintendo game. And then every once in a while you get to a place and there'd be so many cars. Like Friday, when I tried walking to the shop, I could not get down the sidewalk. It was packed for two or three blocks. Just solid. It was like a parking lot of motorcycles. Turned out that Fridays is the Muslim day of prayer. There was a mosque near there and they were all parked. And so you have to go out on the street. And you have to walk. And there was one time I was walking down the street with the motorcycles. That's how slow they sometimes drive. But it wasn't fun. Because, you know, you could be run over. And unless somebody's just polite and doesn't hit you, you're on your own. Finished off the Hebrew poetry on Saturday. Evening, we talked about avoiding debt. We went to a fancy restaurant called Ultimo Italiano that was on the north side of Dempensar. That one attracts a European crowd. So the shop looked really fancy. The streets still looked the same, but the shop looked fancy. Again, this gives you, you know, this is again what we would consider a two-lane street, but you notice there's three sets of cars going through, and then the motorcycles in between, all the way through, and people parked on the sidewalk. So that's what you deal with all the time. On Sunday, I met again with Peter on Sunday morning because Marlon was still not feeling well. We went out to a coffee shop, that's the Ultimo place. Again, it's outdoors. I don't know if you noticed, but it's everything's outdoors. It's under a shelter, but it's outdoors. And then we went to a coffee shop. This was a reconverted garage, mechanics garage. It was a cute place. Peter, then we at the coffee shop, we covered Proverbs 1 and 2. Peter then took me to the beach. We stopped at McDonald's because Peter wanted me to take some. He has a new product, and he wanted me to take some pictures of a new granola cereal. So that's there. So I took some pictures for him.
But I noticed at the McDonald's, I just thought, you know, this just would not go over well in the U.S. Yeah, choking a charcoal. McFlurry. But it just struck me as odd. foods that you will find there, over there, that you would just not... I told Peter that wouldn't go over well. I assume that's actually fudge and not charcoal. I told Peter that wouldn't go over well in the U.S. He said, well, charcoal, that's purifying. No, that's what you cook over. Anyway, we had services from 2 to 4. Peter, Marco, and Marlon attended. We had a class on Proverbs 4. I did a sermon on Abigail. Then afterwards, we walked the beach in the evening down all the way down to the airport. And then they took me out to a taco place that just opened up. They wanted to know if it was real or not. It actually was. I was shocked. It was actually real Mexican. But the driver of our car, as we were going there, hit a parked car. Peter thinks he dozed off. And I was totally shocked because he didn't stay at the scene. He just ran back, decided he didn't scratch the car and ran off. And Peter said he almost hit another car. I didn't notice. It's hard for me to tell if somebody's almost going to hit a car. So we made sure that we weren't taking that car back. We took a taxi instead. And then after I fetched my suitcase, I was dropped off at the airport at 10 p.m. My flight left at 1:30 in the morning, and 23 hours of plane rides back. I got home at 5:30 on Monday, which doesn't mathematically figure out in my head. But the results, though, were from that. Marlon wrote back and said, Mr. Jeffrey, thank you for your visit. I'm so blessed to be able to meet and study the Bible with you. Thank you. Thanks for the encouragement. I pray that you can find safe travels home and be reunited with your beloved family. Please take care. Peter wrote and said, hi, Mr. Jeffrey. Hopefully you arrive safely back to your home. Thank you for coming. At the time, I needed it very much. Now I have confidence. Now, not only one way or option for me, I need to walk with God. The reason for going, though, you know, there weren't any baptisms or things like that, but I was thinking about it as I was putting this lesson. The reason why I went was they were getting very discouraged. And in Matthew chapter 28, sometimes we put the focus in the wrong spot. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, or end of the age. Notice the second part of it. We're there to baptize people, but they need to be taught all things. And too often what I see overseas is preachers coming, hitting areas, baptizing a few people, and leaving them on their own. And that's not what we see. If we look at like how Paul did it in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. It says, after they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. If you go to chapter 15 and verse 41, he says he went traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He's going back through the same set of churches again. And in chapter 18 and in verse 23, they spent some time there. He left and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia, same region again, strengthening all the disciples. When people are taught, there needs to be time spent going back, encouraging people, getting them stronger, making sure they're founded well in the faith so that they can grow from there. And that's one of the things that I've always noted, and I'm glad I had an opportunity, and I'm glad to, you know, the congregation here helped get me over there. I had not been there last year. It just didn't work out. But this year they just really needed it, and there was a good chance to give them encouragement. They really appreciate it. And I should also mention, if anyone wants to go over, you know, let me know. If it's even with either when I go or, you know, on your own, or if you know somebody wants to go. These people need strengthening. They need encouragement. They need to know who their brothers and sisters are, because they have very little contact with it. Anyway, this not a lesson to encourage someone to become a child of God, but there's no better time than the time that we get together. There are people desperate for the gospel. We take it for granted here. And we should realize that there are people that need it, and you and I need it just as badly as anyone else. If there's anyone here wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are Christians who would like the prayers of brethren on your behalf, we leave that opportunity also. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song Selected.